You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
We got plenty of opportunities in the second half. You know, we got, we scored a touchdown with Thielen, and we get called on some kind of call. Stops the touchdown, then we get two turnovers, and we sack them on fourth down. And, I don't know, did we get any points out of those three? 3 points. Yeah, we got to find a way to do better than that.
I love that. You know, that's the mindset that he was in when Greg Joseph makes the 54-yard field goal. Like, that mindset right there and that sort of sullen demeanor is how Mike Zimmer was feeling as the game-winning field goal goes through the uprights. And all of a sudden, in his face,
you like that? You like that?
He's got Kirk punching him in the chest,
just
grabbing him like, yes, yes. And Mike's like, what are we doing? What's happening?
You're assaulting me, Kirk. You like that? You like this huge victory against the Lions?
Oh, my God. Have you ever seen more? Like, I watch Dateline. I watch 2020, like murder mysteries. Judd watches Law & Order. Have you seen more detective work than the work done by Vikings fans on the internet watching that video clip over and over from different angles, trying to figure out, are they fighting?
Well, it was.
Just more excited?
Because it was
happening?
So weird that it's almost like it had to be done, right? Because you looked at it. I mean, it does. There's no other way to explain it, but it's incredibly awkward, and it certainly doesn't look like two guys who are as happy as Kirk was. And so I get why the investigation was done, but you know, at the end of the day, were they about to come to blows? No, absolutely not. At the end of the day,
though, for a minute, I think Mike Zimmer went fight or flight for like a half second. He's like, oh my God, is Kirk attacking me? What is happening right now?
Okay, I'm going to give you something here.
We should reenact it, Judd.
But I'm going to give you, I'm going to throw you guys a bone here and sort of go after myself a bit because next month I'm 52, so I'm getting older. I feel like when you do that, when you grab a person who's older and do that, it's not the same as when you grab a teammate. Because look,
you're saying like cardiac arrest is on the table?
No. I'm saying Mike's reaction to me is very much a person above 50, the reaction. Like if you were...
So if I grabbed you.
Yes. And if you punch
me.
And Mike puts his... But Kirk puts his fist in the middle of Mike's chest. And Mike is clearly shocked. Like, Mike is all in on, are we winning? Did we win? Did we win? And Kirk goes like, boom. I feel like if you're 50 or above, a lot of times, it's not like you're a cornerback, right? Where you're like, yeah dude, we won. I'm 23. You're 30. Let's go drink. I'm just saying.
That's exactly what he said, actually, if you read his lips.
I'm just saying.
I'm 33.
I'm 33. I'm getting older myself. I'm just saying, I feel like when you're above 50, being grabbed and sort of accosted like that and not expecting it does result in the reaction that Kirk got.
I think Declan and I just kind of have to take your word for it. You know, I think.
So, all right. So I'm going to go in at between shows.
Yeah, but you got to do it. You got to surprise me.
But if I punch you in the chest, I don't think much would happen. If you punch me in the chest, would be sent.
But I'm saying, but it's not that
away.
You would. It's not that you would even necessarily hurt me that much. It's that I would be surprised. And I feel like the older you get, the less that you want a sudden surprise like that.
Okay.
Also, to add to this, because I've probably watched this clip about 100 times. Just, there's the Fox angle because it's at first you're like, wait, are they fighting? And then you quickly realize, no, they're not fighting. There's a couple guys, like security guys. One guy was smiling and got what was happening. The guy behind Zimmer at first was like, do I need to hold Mike back?
And I can tell you,
what is happening right now?
I can tell you in talking to some people post game, the Vikings were like, that was the problem. When the guy grabbed him, it made it look worse.
Because he thought Kirk was a
Well, I don't know what the guy behind Zimmer thought Kirk was attacking Mike. But the guy behind the guy who held Mike back when Mike really didn't probably need to be held back made it look like there was about to be a confrontation and Mike was being restrained.
And like Pat P kind of like I couldn't tell if Pat P was like just putting his arms up to celebrate with Coach Zimmer or if he was like there is another element to this of Pat P. And I want, like, so in all things covered in his podcast, I want him to also explain what the hell happened. I know he's going to be asked about it.
I think he probably will be. But he'll just say, oh, man, we were just happy. And I was, the best part, though, was, so a guy holds Mike, Pat P, like Deck said, and then have you seen the guy in the background of, I think it was the second Fox shot. I don't know.
The guy on the side.
Who's got the hat on.
Yeah.
Who's like looking like.
Big smile guy.
Oh my! There's big smile guy, and then there's another guy who's got a hat on, and it looks like an inactive player. But anyway, he's looking like, oh my God, what's going on? Are they about to throw down? Like he has the look of, whoa. So
my final sort of if I'm doing the investigative reporting here, I think my final police report on this would be, Kirk and Mike are standing next to each other. And they're both processing the moment very differently, right? Mike, leading up to the kick, is probably thinking about, oh, my God, am I going to get fired tonight? Like, if he doesn't make this kick, how bad is this for me? And he's running through, like, how did this happen? Oh, my God, I can't believe we're, you know, like the entire drive, he's probably thinking, why, what happened? He's processing it that way. Kirk just got off the field having thrown three passes, boom, 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 field goal range. And Kirk's thinking to himself, hell yeah, it's my fourth quarter comeback with the Vikings. If this thing goes through, we're celebrating, baby. I'm giving my trademark. You like that? Let's sell some T-shirts. And so the kick goes through, and Kirk is like 10 out of 10 ready to rock and celebrate a game-winning drive and a victory stolen from the jaws of defeat. And Mike is coming from the mindset of, for the last like 5 minutes of real time, probably thinking, do I need to start like putting my resume out there?
Well,
am I going to get fired tonight? Are they going to wait till tomorrow? What just happened? Right? And he wasn't like fully cognizant of what was happening. There's the clip. Declan just played it. And there Mike finally
is like,
the guy
who grabs him is like, oh my God, they're about to throw down.
Yeah. It's so good.
The thing too is it also, to delve down deeper, it also shows us how completely out of touch Kirk can be, because like Mike's like, we're about to barely beat Detroit. And now Mike was not asked about this because this, I think the footage surfaced after his press conference, but Mike acknowledged during his press conference that he doesn't even watch the field goals because he's like, I can't watch this. I can't. So he's like, probably
Kirk's
meditating.
Grabbing him and he's not even like totally sure that the ball went
in yet. And Mike is probably like, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace. And Kirk's and Kirk, but Kirk being Kirk, and this is where he's so awkward is, I think I think Kirk considers a win against the Saints in the playoffs and that piece of garbage that we saw on Sunday to probably be the same thing. We won.
His reaction is the same.
Let's all be happy. And Mike's like, dear God, did you watch that game, Kirk? So it is, it's, you're right. It's a great sort of like, illustration, not of a fight about to begin, but about how different two people can possibly be. And I gotta say, I probably side with Zim a bit here because, like, it was, oh my God, you barely pulled that game out. And the way that you almost blew it was legendary. Like, we'd be talking about this for a few years.
Well, and actually, you know, good segue here. I'll lead you guys off with the first statement here. Statements on a Monday on Mackie and Judd. Let Kirk celebrate. That's my first statement.
Okay.
I'm fine with Kirk celebrating. You know what? Because Kirk deserved a fourth quarter comeback against the Bengals. He deserved a fourth quarter comeback against, I guess one of these would have been, which one was the overtime game? The Bengals was overtime.
Yeah. But the Cardinals game, he got him closer than this.
Yes. So, like, this was bottled up. Like, Kirk should have, like, 3 fourth quarter comebacks this season. If not for a fumble that may not have been a fumble and a kick and defense, right? And so this was like pent up party time, just ready to celebrate. It's been built up for 5 weeks, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And as out of place as that celebration felt after that game, where it's like, what? Where is the bar here? What are the standards for
the bar? You know, that the street, felt like
there's been times where the Gopher football team in the past under Glenn Mason would celebrate a win over an FCS school with a game winning, like they beat NDSU one time with a game winning field goal or something. It's like, you guys are a Power Five. Why are we? What are we doing? You know, just I think that was one of those go shake hands. That was a very ugly and business-like win at the end. Did what you had to do. It didn't feel good. And Kirk was celebrating like it was, you know, a trip to the Super Bowl. Did he really need to celebrate in that moment like that? Probably not. But I'm saying I give him a pass. Let Kirk celebrate.
It's actually funny, too, because our friend Tom Pelissero literally just tweeted 60 seconds ago with this quote of the video saying, Kirk Cousins doing exactly what Mike Zimmer wants him to do. Play and celebrate with fire, quote, you like that. That's from Tommy Pelissero.
There it is.
There you go.
You like that?
Let him celebrate.
You like that?
Except against the Lions.
Except against Detroit when you almost
You know
lost.
What? Have some awareness. How about that?
My guy.
That would be the nice thing. Can Kirk have some awareness? Can he have just a little bit? I mean, I don't want to give him a ton. I just want to give him a little bit of awareness.
The guy led the Vikings down the field. Dart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except a Super Bowl quarterback looks at that game and says, okay, we won. We're lucky. We got a lot of work. Not, oh my God, I led a game-winning drive against the Lions. Can you imagine, like, Brady? Oh my, did you see what I did against the Lions?
Yeah, I think Brady, you know, having been there, done that on the grandest stage, you know, a half dozen times, more than that, actually.
But I'm saying it's wiring.
Just a little fist bump.
It's wiring, my man. It's wiring. Are you wired right? Are you not? That's the key to me. All right. Statement from me. The Detroit Football Lions are God's gift to the NFC North. The Vikings have now won 8 consecutive games against Detroit, which, of course, goes, to Patricia and now Man Campbell and, heck, might go back to Jim Caldwell, I'm not sure. And the Vikings are now, get this, in their history, 79-39-2 all time against Detroit, which even though Detroit scored, you know, the 2-point conversion to go up by a point with 37 seconds left, you knew that was one game where I did not doubt they're going to move the ball. Like last week against Cleveland, I said, they are not going to score here. In this case, I said, it's the Lions. I bet they can score. And they did. God's gift to the division and football.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel bad, and I'm sure we'll get into some of the Dan Campbell stuff, but like, God, the Lions, they come crawling back. You know, there were some breaks. They got that fumble recovery. But like, when Dan Campbell said, we're going for two, and they hit the 2-point conversion, there were a lot of Vikings fans that were rooting for the Lions, just saying, all right, just finish us. Let's just get on with it. Go fire Mike Zimmer. You know, it's a very conflicting game in that once it started to go sideways late in the fourth, a lot of fans, and we had a guy call in on Ventline yesterday who was an usher at the game, and he was telling us from the actual game, people were rooting against the Vikings, you know, not because they hate their favorite team, but because one step back to take two steps forward. What should have happened was a 30-7 victory that you roll. Mm-hmm. And then when things started to go the other way, it's like, all right, would it be the end of the world if they just like moved on with the Mike Zimmer era after this? And now it's just weird because now they're 2-3 and they have a chance to get back to 500 going into the bye.
Declan.
All right, Declan.
All right, my first statement. It's who do you want to be, Clint Kubiak? Who the hell do you want to be? Do you want to be this new offensive coordinator? That's gonna take this offense to the next level, or do you want to be conservative? I did some digging last night, NFLGSSIS.com. I think that's what it is, NFLGSIS. Uh-huh. It's NFL, a nice statistical website.
It's
also did
great site.
Some diving on the Reddit page. Last night, or yesterday, I should say, the Vikings rushed on second and long on 7 occasions.
How are you defining that?
Like second 8, 9 yards and 7 or longer.
Mm-hmm. Oh. God.
So on those, each of those runs resulted in an Alexander Madison rush for 4 yards, Madison rush for 5 yards, Madison loss of 2 yards, Madison rush for 1 yard, Alexander Madison rush for 3 yards, a CJ Ham rush for 1 yard on second and 8, and then another rush for 1 yard. Now, all these plays also second and long or third and long, too. There was one third and long, including it. I'm including it in the seven plays that happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the Vikings offense had 8 plays of 15-plus yards yesterday. 7 of them were, guess what, by passing the football. 2 of them came on the final drive when Kirk Cousins was cooking and put the team in position to win the game.
The only 2 catches of the game by Adam Thielen.
Exactly.
That was it.
And the problem is the biggest play yesterday of in terms of yards gained was a run by Alexander Mattison of 48 yards, but on first down, first and 10. I don't understand this archaic thinking of running on second and long when you have this offense that's basically ready to go. It's too damn good to be running on second and long to just set up an easy third and manageable. So that's my opening statement. Clint Kubiak, who do you want to be?
So for the season, the Vikings have the second most runs on second down and long. Okay. They've run the ball 26 times on second and 8 or longer this season.
Wow.
The only team that's done it more often is Chicago. And Chicago is trying to protect a rookie quarterback and Andy Dalton, basically, from getting accosted by
and their coach
defenses.
Isn't very good at calling plays.
Yeah. But not, I mean, is but the Vikings coach clearly
no,
isn't I,
no,
either.
Right? Clint but Kubiak, I'm saying we're putting Mike them Zimmer in the we're so. Putting them in sort of the dumpster of play calling.
So it's the second most, I mean, yeah. So you could say they are the second most conservative team on second and long. And by the way, on those second and especially like the second and 13s, or there's a second and 17 in there. When you run the ball in that situation, you're waving the white flag on the drive. You're making it. You're guaranteeing a third and long. It's just such weird. Actually, good segue. It's 2021, and the Vikings offense. So 2021, more innovation than we've seen in our lives watching the NFL. And the Vikings offense is so conservative in 2021 that a mid-90s fullback, Moose Johnston, on the broadcast, thinks your offense is too conservative. It's just like when you've got Daryl Moose Johnston, who's like punt on fourth and one guy and pound the rock guy, right? This is the way I remember football back in the mid-1990s. Yep. And even he's like 4 different times in the second half.
Emmitt Smith's
like,
lead blocker.
Yes.
Like if anybody believes in pounding the rock, it's the Moose.
And you know, 4 different times in the second half, he's like, what are they doing? Just throw it to Jefferson.
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense. Why are they?
Yep.
On the Alex Mattison direct snap that got stuffed, he's like, I don't really understand why the Vikings are doing that. Just hand it to him or throw it to Justin Jefferson, you know? So why are you running the clock out at the end of the first half with 2 timeouts and 40 seconds?
Did you see Mike's comments about that? Mike's comments about that were incredibly telling and actually take us behind the curtain, I think, of our frustration and the disconnect between the fan base, modern football, and Mike himself. So Mike was asked quite a few questions about, rightfully so, the offense. And by the time we got to this question, he starts off by saying, I don't think I should have to explain this to you. Which is like, yeah, you should. That's the whole point of the press conference. And by the way, you got booed.
You don't have to, but...
Right, but I mean, that shouldn't be your default. But anyway, when he did explain it, he said, and this is how, I mean, this confirms the Vikings play scared. He said, at the end of the half this year, we've had some screw-ups, haven't we? Guys going out of bounds, guys doing the wrong thing. And he said,
fear.
And he said, what we were going to do was run once and see where that got us, as if you were mad. And then decide what the second down and final play was going to be. So this basically confirms everything that we're speculating on.
I think actually I have the clip that Judge talked about. This is Mike Zimmer, I believe, on that exact topic.
Well, I shouldn't have to explain all this to you, but the plan was if you know, we've screwed up a couple of plays in the end of the first half this year, right? It's because we ran out of bounds, we did some things. So the plan was to run the ball the first play, see how much yards we get, and then go from there. If we get a first down, then we get on the ball and we move. But we got, like, no yards, so that was that.
Of course you didn't get yards!
And like, are you going to get a run
look
the ball
Phil.
On first
look at
down?
Phil. You're going to. If people are watching, this is great.
You're going to assume you're going to get 15 yards.
Mackie looks like he just saw something awful.
I can't do this. I have, I have yet to officially demand that Mike Zimmer be fired. And I don't think I'm going to do like a grandiose thing. It's not really what I don't like to do that. But that comment disqualifies him from being a Super Bowl winning coach. If you're coaching from a place of fear at the end of halves, you can't win a Super Bowl. Like, you cannot win a Super Bowl. Go watch the best teams. Go watch the Buffalo Bills last night. Go watch. I mean, the Chiefs have some major defensive issues right now. But offensively, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Packers. I mean, the Chargers right now. Look at these teams. Look at how aggressive they are always, but especially in the last 2 to 4 minutes of halves. And you're coming out saying, well, we made a couple mistakes a couple games ago, and so we got to go into a conservative shell and just make sure that we're guarding against, as Jim Polad would say, guarding against misfortune. Dude, flush it. You got to be. You almost have to be like a major league closer. I gave up a bomb last night, so I'm just going to kind of nibble on the out. Dude, no, throw a fastball over the plate. Like, for as big of a game as Mike Zimmer talks, right, he's such a tough guy. I shouldn't have to explain this to you. I'm a Bill Parcells, no-nonsense tough guy. He is one of the most cowardly coaches in the NFL when it comes to late half. Dude, put your foot on the gas. It's the Lions, bro. What are you doing?
And you've got, whether you like him or not, you've got a quarterback that's among the highest paid against the cap in the entire league. You've got Justin Jefferson, who's on a huge... I also saw a quote today. So this is where Kirk and Mike dovetail, and it drives me crazy because it doesn't fit today's game. Kirk gave a quote that basically said, well, they were doubling Justin and clouding him quite a bit. And so that he said there were calls. First option, Jefferson, hand off to Madison, because they were clouding Justin. And at times, there were a lot of times that he wasn't an option, is what he said. He wasn't an option.
Dude. Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you saw it. The Lions are actually the first team in NFL history to adjust at halftime and put cloud or bracket coverage over the top safety helmet receiver. And it's tough because when a defense decides to do that, it's checkmate. You can't throw to that player anymore.
But these two guys, but these two guys.
I don't expect Justin. Now, here's the problem now. The tape's out on how you guard Justin Jefferson, so I don't even see him getting any targets going forward because teams are just going to, they're going to put a second guy on him.
Mike and
so
Kirk,
I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to do. What do you want us to do?
Mike and Hand Kirk, off. For as different as they are like the same guy when it comes to the conservative nature of how to play football. Like, somebody has to say, the quarterback or coach has to say, we're ripping the Band-Aid off. You're playing Detroit. Justin Jefferson's on a 104-yard first half. He's not out of the game. And by the way, he was also very well covered on that first big pass play down the sideline where he made a great catch. And Kirk put just enough air beneath the ball. And now you're telling me, that play's done?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Randy Moss's reaction to being told, you're out of the game, Randy. Sorry, dude.
Dude, it's infuriating to hear that quote. It is. It's almost like, how do you overcome that level of conservative thinking and expect to win a Super Bowl, contend, go deep in the playoffs? You're going to beat the Buccaneers. You're going to beat Pat Mahomes. You're going to beat the Buffalo Bills. I mean, like, those are the teams. The Green Bay Packers. You're gonna beat those teams by giving away a possession at the end of the first half with 2 timeouts and 40 seconds because, we had Amir Abdullah stepped out of bounds a couple weeks ago.
Right.
We fumbled
that
one time.
That's it.
Who cares? I don't, like, get over the fear of making a mistake. You guys have permission to throw some picks. You can throw some interceptions. You can fumble once in a while. Just stay aggressive because the top end of it's going to result in more points, better possessions, etc. They're so afraid.
It's as if when opponents defensively show the Vikings a too deep look, the Vikings are like, and Kirk and Clint and Mike are like, well, passing's done for the day.
Yeah. Dude.
We're not going down the field now. Too deep.
Oh my God.
From the Detroit Lions. Too deep.
I don't know. I think you're next.
Yeah, I'm next.
Like smoke outside my window right now.
Yeah, I saw you looking outside. Is your house burning down? Is something going on there?
I just want to make sure my house isn't on fire. Hold on one second.
Because the fire alarm, at U.S. Bank Stadium first quarter went off. What I loved was, in very Declan Goff-like fashion, they shut her off.
I'll be right back.
And I did say, okay.
Yeah.
And Declan, I did say, I'm sitting by Courtney and Collar, and I said, do not stop this game.
No.
Like, I was very Goff-like. I said, do not stop. Because at first, it was after a play.
I thought, when I
and
heard
it sounded
it on
like game ops.
And when I heard it on TV, I heard, oh, they got a new siren thing going. I've been to the games. I was like, oh, that's new. I was like, that's a new interesting thing. And I almost even tweeted, like, oh, they're playing sirens now at U.S. Bank Stadium. No, that was a legitimate fire
And then
alarm.
We heard the announcement, right? You know, evacuate the building. I'm like, don't stop the football game.
I had the same thing happen in my apartment two Fridays ago. I said, nope, we are not moving. I am not moving from this bed. No chance I'm moving. Zero chance. I will be burnt to the ground before that happens.
Phil, update?
You all right?
The house is not on fire, but if you ever think you might have an issue with fire prevention, Federated Insurance is here to help you as a business owner.
Long way to go for the sale. I like it. I admire this.
Just ran up three flights of steps. Federated is all about making sure that your company is protected against risks, including fires, your employees, your bottom line. Find out more about the work Federated does for over 100 years at federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
All right. Statement two from me. The Vikings' failure to start and play first-round pick Christian Darrisaw more at left tackle was idiotic. If Christian Darrisaw can start, Christian Darrisaw needs to play. And this rotation that they decided with Rashad Hill was ridiculous. And let me tell you why I think it's folly that the Vikings are going to fall back on. This is a good plan. This is a Anthony Barr started for the first time since week two of 2020 yesterday and did not miss a snap. Okay. Which is fine. If he is set to play, he should play too. But the fact of the matter is you're telling me that you are going to ease Christian Darrisaw, your first round pick, who by the way should have started if he hadn't been hurt day one. You're going to ease him in and let him learn behind the tutelage of Rashad Hill? Like, that's really the plan here? Rashad Hill was put back in the game early in the second half yesterday and immediately got trucked. Christian Darrisaw, if he can play, play him. Rashad Hill's a backup.
Yeah, I think once they put Darrisaw in the game, I don't really understand this rotation. Like, their plan was to rotate those guys and mix them in.
Ease them in, I think.
I get it. He didn't play any preseason. He didn't play, you didn't practice. So I get, like, well, maybe we should just give him 28 snaps instead of 60 snaps. And all right. So now that we've got that out of the way, he should just be your starting left tackle for every snap this weekend against Carolina, right? Mm-hmm. There's no reason. Darrisaw, 28 snaps, zero pressures allowed, according to Pro Football Focus.
Nice.
His pass blocking grade was still pretty weak. So he got pushed around a little bit, but none that resulted in an official pressure.
Yep.
Rashad Hill had two pressures allowed. One was a sack. Another one was a hurry. And the sack was bad.
Yep.
Well, actually, maybe it was the hurry that was bad or the hit. One of them, he got literally just got shoved on his back.
The sack.
And then
he got shoved down
resulted
on
a
sack.
In a sack.
You're correct.
Okay. So, all right. Declan.
Yeah, I'll go another one here. But it's more Dan Campbell and Detroit Lions inspired. My statement is continue to go for the throat. Dan Campbell's decision to go for 2 points and go for the win yesterday, I thought was amazing. Now, I don't want to be a Zach Taylor and going for fourth downs when you're like pinned deep in your own territory and it's not a Madden game, so there isn't really anything that's up for grabs necessarily or things that could really shipwreck your season. But the idea and mindset of going for two and going for the win, I love that. The Lions are 0-4, right? So they have nothing to really lose in this. So they did make the decision to go for 2 points and go for the win, not kick the extra point. Mike Zimmer kicks the extra point 8 out of 7 days a week in that situation. He never goes for two, even if the Vikings were 0-4. Like, I love the decision and mindset by Dan Campbell to go for 2 points, and I want other teams to have that mindset instead of playing for the ties. And then you go to overtime, and more kickers miss field goals, just like in the Bengals and Packers games. Dan Campbell's decision to go for 2 points, I love it. Continue to do that, NFL. Let's start getting more in the mindset of going for wins. I love it.
What did you guys think when you saw Dan Campbell crying, wiping away tears at his post-game press conference?
You think you like football? Well, Dan Campbell doesn't just like football. He f***ing loves football.
No, you just... when you see your players give all that they have and you lose that way, it's tough. You know, you don't want that for them.
Oh, my God.
I think it's oh my God. It strikes me as very sincere, but dude, it's a long season. You play a ton of games, and I know it's tough, but this ain't college. I wouldn't be crying.
Him and Urban
that's
Meyer
too much
are
for
like
me.
Both shedding tears.
But if I'm a player for him, I know that there's a lot of people who are going to say, well, the players will try harder now because he cried for them and stuff. I don't really want my coach crying. Like, if we lose a Super Bowl, I'll consider that one. Or let's say we lose in a brutal playoff
Jimmy
game.
Okay, Jimmy Dugan. Okay, Tom.
But
Hanks.
I don't want my coach
like
crying
it.
After
I
go to 0-5. Don't cry.
I love it.
I think it's awesome, man.
Pull it together.
I think more of Dan Campbell going for two and then crying after the game than I did 24 hours ago. I think higher of Dan Campbell now than I did 24 hours
ago. Yeah, but the problem
ago.
With that is...
he's still Dan Campbell.
But the word that you use, Phil, is perfect. Higher. He's high. He's low. He's high. He's low. He wants to bite kneecaps off. Now he's going to cry. I need more consistency.
I think he's always just high. I think he's just always
passion. I like passion, but it's your fifth loss against the Vikings. And by the way, hell of a comeback. So anyway, I'm not crying in that situation.
I think you got outvoted. Declan and I are.
No, you guys win.
Okay,
I'm just telling you. I'm making my
football tears
are
fine.
I'm make my
gotta have yourself a
tears
cry
are, tears are fine, but let's. You know what? Two things that we learned, guys, on Sunday from Sports Dad here. One is celebrate according to the situation, not what you think the situation should be. And two is hold the tears for when it really matters.
Okay, weekend. We'll save your tears for another day. Yeah, got it.
When does it really matter ever for the Lions? Like, when has it mattered?
Well, that's the thing is, you should never cry. The Detroit Lions coach should never cry. It never really matters.
An emotionless robot.
No, you just go in and say, hey, hell of a comeback, right? How about that Jared Goff?
Sorry, we can't all be as stoic emotionally. As
I am
Zoldani,
a very emotional
okay?
person, but know the situation. That's not the situation to cry, and Kirk should not have punched his coach in the chest about a win that they barely eked out, okay? We learn lessons. Kirk, Sports Dad here, we've learned lessons.
Kirk's hilarious, man. He almost put Mike Zimmer into cardiac arrest.
Yes! You like that?
Perhaps some bonus statements later, but let's get to our guy number one. Like, speaking of riding the roller coaster of emotions, I am curious to see where our guy Randy in Cottage Grove falls on this Monday here, Mackie and Judd.
This holiday, whether you're making a Baker's Simple Truth turkey for 40 or a Murray's Baked Brie for two, Baker's has fast, fresh delivery and free pickup, so you can make holiday meals that bring you all together to create memories that last. Baker's, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
You got to look at each individual possession of why did we get stopped. And it's a combination of things. It's never any one thing. So there will be a lot to correct. And that's what tomorrow and early this week will be all about.
I feel like Kirk has become a master at that exact answer. After every game, right? Just listen, there's just a lot of things to look at. It's never any one thing. Just a lot of things to get better at. Easily correctable. No, that was the Christian Ponder line.
Oh, that's, yeah. Okay.
Easily correctable. I'm probably going to stop giving my coach a heart attack.
You like that?
As the game ends here. Mackie and Judd, Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. And Randy in Cottage Grove is the most passionate Vikings fan we know. He has correctly given us two Vikings first-round picks in the last 3 years. And when the Vikings win, we look forward to the weekly stud stable. Randy in Cottage Grove, how did that game land with you yesterday?
It was great. Just a tough, like a hard-fought, hard-nosed win is what that is. That's what they, they needed to do that a couple times earlier in the season. And you're looking at a pretty good team right now. You're looking at a 4-1, 3-2 kind of a squad, but we're climbing back, and that was a good hard-fought team win, kind of a team win.
How about the blown lead there late, where they almost gave the entire game up in like a 2-minute span? That wasn't great to me, Randy. What do you think of that?
Well, these guys are NFL players. I don't know if you're aware of that. They all the guys on both sides of the line of scrimmage collect paychecks from NFL franchises. So they're quality. They're top tier talent. All these guys and they care. Okay, so we got punched in the mouth a little bit, but we came back and Kirk did what he had to do, and it's a quality. That's a signature win, is what that was.
I don't know if I go signature win. I don't know if I just want to make sure that, you know, we pride ourselves on being honest and transparent on this show, and I don't know if your comments here are reflective of maybe how you felt yesterday during the game. I don't know, when you tweeted 19 hours ago, you said fire Zinn on Twitter during the game. So at one point you wanted the head coach fired from the Minnesota Vikings. It seems like you've come a long way since. Okay.
Yeah, just the heat of the moment is what that was. It was a little bit of yag, a little bit of, we were all amped up, and for a minute it didn't look good. It was dark for a minute, but Zim's a tough guy, and he turned it around.
Are you okay?
You're breathing heavily right now. There. What's wrong?
Are you having a heart attack right now?
I had a lot of respect for what Dan Campbell did, to be honest.
Was he choked up?
I'm sorry, what?
I have a lot of respect for Dan Campbell. And what he did.
Randy, what's wrong?
He's choking.
Put his team in a position of, had the stones to go for two. I really had a lot of respect for that. He's a tough customer.
Are you
crying?
Are you getting emotional right now?
I kind of wanted us to lose.
Whoa.
I don't know how to say it.
Whoa.
I don't think you've ever said that before. I feel like you've been coming on our show. You wanted the Vikings to lose at one point during yesterday's game.
When I saw Dan, we started cussing at the TV and saying he's going to go for two. He's a bozo, and he did it. He pulled it off. And that's the kind of faith he has in his players. And Zim, Justin Jefferson was tearing him up in the first half, but he had 100 yards plus. And then you go away from it completely. What kind of faith does that show in your squad? And then Campbell, he puts his nuts, puts the whole thing on the chopping block and says, go ahead and cut him off if you want. And they don't. They got the two, and they should have won the game.
Are you okay?
Randy, if you had the option today to swap Mike Zimmer for Dan Campbell, who would you want coaching the Minnesota Vikings?
I can't answer that. Maybe Campbell. I don't know. He believes in his squad. He's got faith in his team. It's a stud stable, but it's
Campbell
not a
Campbell doesn't
not
just
a
like football. Dan Campbell loves football.
It's not a happy stable. Stubbs, not a happy stable.
So it's not a good win. Like, we've now come to the point where you're going to acknowledge that was not a hard-fought good win, Randy.
Do the music so I can do the stable. Oh, sure.
Are you sure? We don't have to do this. We don't have to.
Okay,
I would like,
gotta,
I would like to hear it.
You do what you got to do. This technically is a win. You got to do the stable. Play the stupid
song. All right. This is Randy and Cottage Grove's Week 5 Stud Stable, an emotional version of the Stud Stable here, apparently.
This is Week 5 against the Lions. Probably should have been a dud stable this time. The other two should have been studs. Nothing makes sense anymore. But here's some studs. I don't know, Justin Jefferson. I guess he's a stud.
pretty good. He's a pretty good player.
Kirk Cousins, sure, whatever. He's a stud. Anthony Barr finally pulled your pants up and played football. Good job. You're a stud, I guess. I don't know. Pick another guy here. Tyler Conklin, sure. Good job. You're a stud. Eric Kendricks, you're a stud, I guess.
This is tough.
And Mike Zimmer, you're bozo, but I guess you won, so technically you're a stud. Dan Campbell, I love you.
He's gone. Randy?
He's gone.
It's over. Didn't even get to Greg Joseph.
I didn't realize Dan Campbell could get grown men up in their feels like that.
Well, he was trying to put on a brave face to start with.
I said I respected and loved the decision.
Yeah, you weren't crying.
I wasn't choked up over it.
If I was a player in that locker room, I would be ready to go to war for Dan Campbell after he called for that 2-point conversion.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with Randy on that, Coach.
Pull yourself together.
I mean, I'm ready. You just show me the brick wall that I need to run through after Dan Campbell got up there and cried. He cried for his team. When has Mike Zimmer ever cried for his team?
I don't want Zimmer crying.
When Teddy's leg exploded.
No,
all right, that's true.
He just canceled practice that day.
That's true.
He got a little choked up.
Well, yeah, he got choked up because he saw a man's leg snap in two like a toothpick.
Wife dying.
Man's leg snapped in two. I'm not saying that I wouldn't cry about a horrific injury or a death. I'm saying I wouldn't cry about a football game that I lost if I was Detroit Lions coach.
Okay,
but Randy's
so
very upset.
Jed, I have a 2-part question.
Yeah.
Part one is, are you out on Mike Zimmer at this point? Like, are you pretty much out? I'm pretty much out.
I think the fairest way to put it is I really think that it's run its course. I think that the league
doesn't
has
mean
changed.
He was an epic failure. No, doesn't mean.
And you know what? He could still be a very successful coordinator. But I just think as far as head coaching goes, I think it's run its course here. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. Almost every head coach, not named Belichick, probably has a shelf life. We've talked about this, you know, going back to the first day that we started the show together, Phil. So, yeah, it doesn't mean he's bad. It doesn't mean he's terrible. But when I hear his philosophies now, and I, you know, it gets harder and harder as well, I think, at times because people tune you out, things change. So I'm not saying fire him today. I might have been if they lost to Detroit, but it's run its course. I think that's a very fair way to put it.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think it doesn't need to mean that he's an epic failure. You know, he's going to wind up with one of the better records in Vikings head coaching history percentage-wise. You know, Bud Grant is still number 1, 2, 3. Denny Green, it's kind of Denny Green, right? He went to an NFC championship game. Actually, Denny went to two of them. Denny had the best offense 1 year. Zimmer had the best defense 1 year. Pretty similar. Always competitive, good, always 500. So we all agree that we're kind of out on Mike Zimmer. So here's part two to my question. You only get one other option. You can keep Mike Zimmer for 3 more years, or you get Dan Campbell for 3 years.
Oh, yeah, I'm keeping Mike. I'm not getting Dan Campbell. I'm not touching him. As a head coach, I wouldn't touch him
really?
With a 10-foot ball.
As currently constructed.
No way.
You'd have a much better roster than the Lions have. The Lions don't have nearly the high-end talent
act,
that the Vikings have.
That act, that highs and lows act of constantly the emotional tightrope that Dan Campbell walks is a college act. It's not going to work in the pros long. No
but
way.
But don't you think with a better roster that he could get a year and a half jolt? Could he get a year and a half jolt out of a better roster than Mike Zimmer is getting right now?
No.
Because I think Mike Zimmer is actively dragging down
and I think
a
Dan
good
Campbell
roster.
Would too. So I would stay status quo.
Okay,
I mean, if you're giving me the choice of a guy who wants to bite kneecaps off. I mean, his whole act is a college act. Like, that is a Division I college coach.
Yeah, I don't even know how well it would. Like, I think you'd alienate some college players.
Oh, sure you would. But I just think it's got a better chance to work in college. Pros are grown men who get paid a ton. Eventually, like, the crying thing is a card to play, But he played it after a week five loss to go to. So
he didn't. He didn't play a card, Judd.
So what happened?
He was genuinely emotional.
Right, but I'm saying
he didn't like. He didn't get up there and say he didn't like a card. Cut an onion in half.
But you got to see it as
this.
Playing a card, because the next time he does it, the players are going to roll their eyes and be like, "Here we go again. Coach is crying. Coach crying. Coach Hanky. We got Coach Hanky." You have to see everything in coaching and sports is some type of manipulation in some way to get the most from your players. And crying is something that you should control until it's going to be its most effective. And going to 0-5 is not the time to cry. The next time he cries, people are going to be like, "Here he goes again, Coach Cryy." There's nothing wrong with crying. I just
3 years.
Don't like
Dan Campbell or Mike Zimmer with this team.
With this team as it's currently constructed, Zimmer. If it was a different situation, if this roster was overhauled, then I would go with Dan Campbell. If you moved on from Kirk Cousins this year and, like, for whatever reason, Justin Jefferson revolts, okay, let's roll the dice with Dan Campbell because we're going to be bad for a while. But as currently constructed, I can't.
Yeah, I don't generally want Dan Campbell as my head coach, but I don't think it's fair to gauge with the Jaguars roster, the Lions roster. They're going to lose a lot of games. I thought it was very, very genuine. You say manipulative. I say genuine.
Well, you've got to consider when you do it, though. Yeah, that's. But and you know what? If you cry behind closed doors, but when you bring it into a press conference, that's playing a card. If you show it to your team, that's different, and that also has to be used carefully, judiciously. But when you bring it to the podium, that's playing a card.
What should he have done? Just walked off the podium?
Should have said, "I'm proud." No, he shouldn't have cried.
Swallow
he should have
those
said, "I'm
tears like a man.
I'm proud of my team." I mean, it's fine to get choked up a bit, but he was full on crying. "I'm proud of my team. We are getting better every week. We didn't play a great game, but we did enough to win on the road, and we didn't win, and we're going to clean those things up. But the Detroit Lions will never quit."
So you're saying he also cried too hard.
I'm saying it's one thing to be, yes, he's full on crying. I don't want that.
So if there was just one tear, maybe a little choke, voices cracking once or twice is fine.
I'm saying he just went to Super Bowl cry card.
"We lost the Super Bowl.
That's what he went to. That was his week five reaction.
Honestly, a division game for the Lions, a road game for the Lions, is as close to the Super Bowl as they're usually going to
get. But if he cries again at the podium, everybody's done. Like, it's not going to work again. Players aren't going to be like, "Next time I'll run through the wall again, and next time I'll run through the wall again."
I don't know. Maybe Mike Zimmer, maybe when Mike Zimmer's most important player is trying to show him, "Hey, I'm bonding with you. I'm excited about this victory." Maybe Mike Zimmer can ratchet up the emotion once.
Oh, that's a whole other thing. Those two need therapy, Phil. Those two need quarterback coach therapy.
Together, yeah. All right. Let's get to some bonus statements here. Declan, why don't you lead us off here with a bonus statement?
Yeah, I'll stick with the Vikings. My bonus statement is, get to 500 and let's reassess. Let's get to 500 and let's reassess things. All right, I'll go a little positive.
You're back on the bandwagon right now.
The Panthers are coming down to earth hard right now. And I don't buy that Carolina is back after they're a new team after that hot 3-0 start. They don't look like that team anymore. And if the Vikings can get to 3-3, you go into the bye week. And by the way, after that bye week, it is going to be tough. Like, that's probably the toughest stretch of this season. There's still tough games remaining after those first five out of the bye week, but this is probably going to be the toughest stretch. So if you can get to 3-3, then you get the Cowboys at home, tough road game in Baltimore, tough road game in with the Chargers.
Wheels are off.
Home game against the Packers, and then road game against the Niners. I mean, this is going to be a tough stretch, but let's get to 500. Let's hopefully win, you know, three, four of those games, and you get in December, and maybe we're sitting pretty. Maybe everything's going to be okay. Get to 500, and let's reassess things. That is my opening bonus statement.
Another thing after the bye week that's really interesting about the schedule is there's a lot of guys, basically your first three or four games right out of the bye, you're going to find out just how good Kirk Cousins is. You know, these MVP numbers he's been putting up, but the team hasn't been winning as many games, right? He's going to go toe-to-toe with Dak Prescott, with Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, who's just been absurd.
Oh,
so
did
far
you
this
see
year.
That yesterday?
Dude, he is.
How much
his
fun
arm,
was that?
His mobility. He's already one of the five or six best quarterbacks in the entire league. Like, everyone talks about Mahomes,
no, right.
but
no,
he's Pat Mahomes. He's right there.
Yep.
And Aaron Rodgers. So you get just a murderer's row of really good quarterbacks. Dak, Lamar, Herbert, Rodgers, all in the top six-ish, right? I mean, Brady's in there, wow. Mahomes, Kyler. So it's probably like of the top eight quarterbacks.
Yep.
You got four of them in succession right out of the bye.
And now your secondary gets a huge test as well.
Well, starting with Dallas or Carolina, are you saying?
No, post-bye with Dallas.
Yeah.
Like now you've got QBs who know who to pick on and have the authority to do it successfully. Like Jared Goff, you're like, yeah, it's Jared Goff. But, and plus, I think his top two receivers got hurt and they basically didn't have guys to throw to by the end of that game. But yeah, starting with Dallas, you now, Zim's defense is going to be in the crosshairs. So yeah. You're right.
This was, bonus statement here, this was one of the great sports weekends of the entire calendar year so far. You had college football upsets and down-to-the-wire games. The number one team in the country goes down.
Great day.
You had a great throwback heavyweight fight, the trilogy, fight number three between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder,
mm-hmm.
where both guys got knocked down at various points in the fight, 11 rounds, just haymakers
Wilder,
in the last two or three rounds.
Geez, did he get knocked down. Ooh, that the end of that fight was not pretty. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, well, they were both exhausted, ooh. And they're just yep. like barely able to get their arms up. And then for you know, Major League Baseball playoffs, for wrestling nerds, you had an independent promotion called GCW that put a death match on between Jon Moxley and Nick Gage, where these guys are just bloody messes. And then you had the Wolves with a great comeback win over the Nuggets as well on Friday night.
Oh, yeah, I didn't dip into
great
that one.
Sports weekend.
The Wild got spanked, too, in their preseason finale, but that's okay.
But playoff baseball, college football, and pro football, and the boxing match were all outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah, like, this was...
That was such a fun two or three days. So much fun.
It's too bad the Twins can't be participants.
Hey, I got one more statement.
Okay.
Hold on, real quick. Yeah. On the Twins note... So I saw, was it Declan or somebody? Someone sent this out on Twitter. All eight teams in the division series round have now won a playoff game this year. So everyone has won a game in all of the series so far. So all of those eight teams have done something the Twins haven't been able to do in 18 attempts.
That's not allowed. That's a violation of the MLB code of conduct.
God, it's amazing.
All right, here's my final statement going back to the Vikings. Bashaud Breeland needs to go. All right? When you are so tone deaf and you are last in PFF's cornerback rankings, I believe he entered Sunday.
He popped up. He popped up to the third to last after this week's performance.
He is now third to last.
Wow. Wow.
But he was last going into Sunday. 103 out of 103. And then you have a halfway
He's top 100 now, it sounds like.
Saying there's a chance.
Halfway decent game, but you're not that good, okay? You have a halfway... And you, by the way, in the fourth quarter, get completely trucked. He got trucked at one point. He fell backwards. It was embarrassing. And then you take to Twitter to put out a vulgar tweet which insults the fan base and essentially says, shut up, don't boo us, and enjoy the win. You're the guy doing that, Bashaud Breeland, and I don't know exactly who told him to delete his tweet quickly, if it was his family, his friends, or the team, perhaps an assistant coach or something, but he needs to go. Like, when you are this unaware of what's going on, you're not smart enough to play in this defense. So, Bashaud Breeland, Cam Dantzler should be back from the COVID list this week. He should start next week. Find another backup. Bashaud Breeland, bye-bye. You don't belong on this team.
After being ranked number 103 out of 103 is now 109 out of 112 out of qualified quarterbacks.
So he's still
109 out of 112.
So more guys came in and qualified for snap counts, and he just... So he moved down, really. Excuse me, I'm getting emotional now.
Yeah, easy.
Stop crying.
Don't play that card
yet. But get rid of him.
It's Dan Campbell.
Just release him. Come on.
Judd, give us one more bonus statement on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, that's right.
Oh. So this started last night with a Michelle Tafoya halftime rain delay report, or I should say lightning delay, in Kansas City. And they were, I guess, they were giving the Bills players peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but the players didn't like them because they had too much peanut butter, I believe. Anyway, long story short, this took to Twitter like wildfire. And so I tweeted, hot take, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are the most overrated sandwich ever made.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And
wow.
I got torched on Twitter. I got ratioed hard. I probably had two or three people say, like, stick to your guns, you're right. And other than that, it was a ratio of ratios. I got a note that said, for a man who has a lot of terrible takes, this is your worst take. I don't like them.
That's an honor.
I said that. I said, thank you very much. I tweeted back, thank you. That's a really nice thing to say.
Sitting pretty, if that's the case.
But anyway.
So what did we find out from Tafoya? What was the ratio?
She did say it, but I don't remember. 75
or 80% peanut butter or something?
I think it was 75% peanut butter, but I'm not positive of that. But anyway.
That's too much peanut butter.
I don't touch those things. I don't like them. They get soggy. I got like all of these. Well, have you toasted it? And have you done this? And have you done that? Dude, peanut butter and jelly should just be a simple sandwich. If it was good, it's not good. It's garbage.
I feel like I really only ate it in college or if I was hard on cash.
Grade school. Ugh.
I probably have eaten less than 5 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the last 3 or 4
Phil's
years.
Something here.
Okay. Pro tip here. Okay. So, Herbert and Gerbert subs.
Yeah, great.
You can find. There's a couple in and around, you know, Dicky Town, right?
Free advertising.
One in Roseville, I want to say.
They want a sponsor program.
So, and they are not paying me to say this, but they have a peanut butter and jelly sub.
And
they cut the bread out the top.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Gross.
And here's another pro tip, all right?
Sorry.
So, get 2 subs. So, let's say you're hungry for a sub from Herbert and Gerbert's. Get whatever one you're going to get. Like, get the turkey sub or something and some soup for your lunch. And get a bonus peanut butter and jelly, put it in the refrigerator, cool it off, and then eat it for a late night snack. Cold. So good. You're welcome.
I do love me an Uncrustable, though. You guys know what Uncrustables are?
Yeah. My mom did those occasionally for me.
I don't know if I know what
those
are.
It's a brand, and then again, if you guys, if free advertising for Uncrustables, it's like, it's just a circular peanut butter and jelly sandwich, like in a bread, like it looks like a burger. It honestly looks like an enclosed burger. Like it's delicious. It's really,
and
really good.
They like just take the crust off the, it's just,
yeah, if you Google, it looks like a big hockey puck of but white bread of peanut butter and jelly. It's delicious. So it was a great snack hit.
I would say almond butter and jelly is
almond
more
butter.
Favorable.
Almond butter is now you're talking upper echelon.
It's a little higher end.
I know. I stopped at Whole Foods every once in a while, but that's a whole other play.
Almond butter and jam, really.
My rule of thumb is very simple. If it got packed in my lunch for grade school, I'm out. So like a bologna sandwich is crap. Peanut butter and jelly.
Bologna is the weakest meat of.
No, I know, but I'm just
sandwiches.
Saying.
I
have a bias.
That,
I have a very big bias against anything that was in my lunch bag.
Out on string cheese.
String cheese is fine because it's complimentary. I'm saying the main course of a grade school lunch.
So you're out on bologna.
Oh, bologna's crap. I hate bologna.
We should rank the sandwich meats. We should do that sometime in a slower week.
And I love the sandwich meats.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not out on those.
I love this conversation.
I have very specific things that I'm out on. And bologna and peanut butter and jelly, fia.
All right. Those are your statements and your bonus statements. And Randy in Cottage Grove, who...
Hope he's okay. I thought he was having a heart attack
at
first.
Big Dan Campbell guy, man. Yeah, I
thought he's okay.
Maybe he was, and he played it off like he was emotional over Dan Campbell.
I don't know.
Vikings Vent Line yesterday, that was a therapeutic session for people. You can check that out on the Purple Daily podcast feed, also on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. And you can also hit us up on the Score North YouTube channel. Maybe some of you are watching us there right now. We appreciate all you guys. I think we're almost to 26,000 combined subscribers. So thank you guys for helping us. We've set new records month after month here. The first training camp into
the best
October here. We're off to a pretty good start too. So thank you guys. And we'll see you tomorrow. I'm Mackie and Judd.
Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. The College Football Playoff Committee made their decision on Sunday. And as much as I loathe the idea of Ohio State losing their way into the College Football Playoff, I 100% agree with OSU making it in over Bama. Nick Saban citing some hypothetical point spreads to prove his point that the Tide deserve a spot in the college football playoffs holds little substance when you consider Bama's best win is over Texas. No, the committee got it right. TCU had a great season with far more ranked wins than Bama and didn't deserve to lose their spot after playing a surging Kansas State in a championship game. And Ohio State, while not playing some of their best ball later in the season, was still 12-0 until they came face-to-face with my Wolverines. While the college football playoff system isn't nowhere near as good as it could be, it's better than what we had. And in a few years, it will be better for all of college football. Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. And don't forget BetOnline for the NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.